Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast, iHeartRadio. 111 Productions, and today we're going to do a little special. Oh, I did not welcome our very, very special panel, Riley Palucis.
You don't need to.
Oh, no, I'm going to. Danielle Romo, hello. I think she's on the aft deck of her yacht, one of her yachts, and Amy Sugarman calling in from one of her many homes.
I'm excited for this today, actually.
It's so we're going to do some Q&A. Tell us what's going on today.
Well, we compiled some really, really, really good questions.
Oh boy.
From everyone listening, fans. Maybe I threw a few of my own in there. Maybe. For you to give us more inside dirt juice in between seasons. Because we wanted to like give everyone a minute to catch up. Because next week we are coming back massive with season 3. But this is just, you know, to give us a little bit of a nice tie it up with a bow for season 2.
Because we are the hardest working road crew in podcasting. We're slapping down 3 episodes a week.
Yeah,
How do we do it? I don't know how we do it.
Danielle, what are we going to call it?
Should we call this the season 2 Q&A wrap party?
Yes. Let's do it.
First of all.
Danielle. Should we all have a drink?
Let's have a drink.
Danielle, are you in charge of naming things? Because that's a really clever name.
You know what? I'm here. I'm ready to party. I'm ready to have our wrap party answer these Q&A questions.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm riled up. You know what shocked me the most? So obviously we're coming off of the season 2 finale. And I don't know if Scott will be shocked by this, but I actually was surprised.
What?
Even though I don't feel this way, people really dislike Christopher. They literally do not like Christopher and Lorelai together. They do not like that he calls her lore, even though I love it.
Amy, can I just stop you here for a second? Listen, here's something that I know. No, I'm not shocked. Okay. Listen, anything or anyone that tries to drive a wedge between Luke and Lorelai is going to get a lot of hate. That's all there is to it. I mean, even my daughter, my own daughter, April, right?
I know. They did not care for her.
My daughter, Dane's blood running through her veins.
Danielle's face is like, daughter?
Should I read some of these comments?
Dude, they used, you guys, huddle up. Hmm. They used the vomit emoji. Like I've never seen the vomit emoji used so much.
This is an engaged fan base. This is a dedicated, they want what they want and they want it now. And they want Luke and Lorelai together in that regard. They don't like being messed with the whole with the t-shirts and the fawning over the Christopher. Sorry, they don't want it. They don't like the gold, the angelic locks and the perma smile. They don't. They're no.
Let me read some of these for you. Suze Boop 58 says, "When I hear him call Lorelai lore, it makes my skin crawl." Amy, you got some hate in this one.
Oh, I know. Read
JFN
it, read
PPR.
It.
Amy, why did you spoil it for Danielle? Let her experience it without hints as much as possible.
You didn't really see that.
Lots of hate, Christopher's.
Vomit emoji.
Vomit emojis. Also the one with the emoji with the mask over its mouth. Mm-hmm. Vomit emoji. Buried in there. Every 15 bad comments, you get a good one that's like, you know what? I wouldn't mind if Lorelai ended up with Christopher. Mm-hmm.
I think that happens when people have some kind of episode in their lives and they lose their grip on reality or their ability to reason. No, I'm just kidding.
First of all, I love this person. They did multiple vomit emojis. It was the so good.
And that's Amy Sugarman on emoji. She plays a mean emoji.
That's sound effects of emoji.
We'll
get into these questions, talents, respect to everybody that comments on the Instagram because they pull through with the geniusness.
Yes, like, they do.
It is so good.
What else? What else you got? What else you got?
Are you ready? Danielle found one.
Christopher is garbage. He is a selfish person and a deadbolt dad. And because of that, I find him to be very unlikable and not someone you want to root for. And he only gets worse and worse and worse as the show goes on. I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to read the rest of that comment because it's going to ruin it for me. But
poor guy, man. Christopher. He got a job. He signed up to do a role, right?
Christopher is garbage.
Did he know what he was walking? Did David know what he was walking into here?
Oh my God. Because I love Christopher. I stand by it.
We know. You're not walking back those comments.
This one is like, he is a spoiled, manipulative man. He was young when he had Rory, but he is well into his 30s now. Unless it fits into his life, he is not having it. It's tough to enjoy a kiss of a guy who acts like he has a right in the decisions of how Lorelai raises Rory.
Wow.
Ooh, well said, but also harsh. I'm still team Christopher, but
what did you just say?
I like him.
You just made an incredible statement on I Am All In with Scott Patterson podcast. You're team Christopher. Did you just say that you were team Christopher?
Endgame, I'm Luke and Lorelai.
I'm about to take off the cans here. Where are you right now?
Look, I'm Luke and Lorelai forever. But I don't hate Christopher.
Okay, you can't be team Christopher, though. You know what? Team Christopher...
How do I support him amongst the Max Medina, the Styles?
What's his name? Harry Styles?
Jason
Styles. I know. One is in Gilmore Girls and one is the rock star. Harry Styles.
Oh my God. When he shows up, we're going to call him Harry.
Let's call him Harry. You know, why not?
We're going to call him Harry always. Harry Styles.
But so I can see your team, Christopher, amongst those people.
Correct.
That category of male, homo sapiens, Okay, yep. But Luke is in it. It's not a team Luke. It's just what is. It's the truth.
Thank Correct. You. There you go. Correct.
All right. I just wanted everybody to be clear on that. Anyway.
Okay, guys. Mm-hmm. He's in the hot seat.
Fire I'm in the hot seat. What's going on? I don't even know what this is. Well, you can ask me questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
These are fan questions.
Yes. Oh, and as you can tell from before, the fans are just oozing with passion.
They are.
There's some passionate questions.
Oh, God. Are they going to stump me? I hope not.
No.
They might.
No. Okay. So first we have a question from.
I can always go. Mike. I can always. Sorry, but I can always say it's so long ago. I just don't remember. That's compelling.
Get your Wikipedia ready. Get ready to like look up something.
That's fun to listen to.
Type.
If you hear typing, no, you didn't. That first question we have is Beam 1967. Why is there a guitar in Luke's apartment? It's visible in multiple episodes that show Luke's apartment starting from season one. Does that mean Luke plays guitar? Was it included in Luke's apartment as a nod to you, Scott? Was there anything else in Luke's apartment that was a nod to you?
In every contract that I have negotiated in my illustrious Hollywood career, one of the add-ons is there must be a guitar on any set that I am.
Is that true?
No, that's total BS.
You're a good actor, dude, because I totally believed you.
No, I think it was, it was just a character thing. Everybody dabbles, right? There was probably and in my character history and what I told Amy was, yeah, he's a bit of a guitar player. I think she got to know me and she realized that I grew up playing the guitar and it had significant meaning for me, as it does most people that pick up a guitar. So yeah, it's a very, very meaningful prop to the point where it was almost a character. So.
Okay. Next one is from Meta. When Luke gets mad or frustrated and turns quiet, he crosses his arms and puts his head down and physically becomes a ball before he blows up. Scott, was this an acting choice by you?
You know, yes. And it's really not something it's always in the moment because you're trying to stay within a scene of that has that kind of energy in it. You know, and there's conflict. It's just sort of, you know, like I said in the previous podcast, it's all about behavior. What organically will happen and what organically do you feel? And you just sort of let your body behave just like you would in a normal situation. It's not, you're not tied down by the dialogue. You're just sort of free of it and free with it. And you're responding and behaving in a way that is appropriate for that situation. That's really, it's all instinct. So it's,
Yeah. Do you get totally immersed? Like when you're doing a scene
Yes.
and you're like, it's not like you're going, what's my next line? What's my next? You're like completely in it. Oh, wow.
No, it really, you know, the lines just come, you know, I'm cold anyway. But it's really, it's a rehearsed type of behavior. It's a behavior that you sort of found the roadmap to in the rehearsal process. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of, it sort of gels in the end of the rehearsal process and the first couple of takes for me. So yeah, I mean, it just sort of, it has a shape. It's the shape of the scene. That's what we call it. We call it shaping the scene and finding our cues and finding our blocking and finding the behavior. And it's all it all just sort of comes together. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. It is kind of cool. It's very cool. I love it. Really cool. I mean, I love the rehearsal process more than anything because that's when all the discovery happens, you know, it's wonderful.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. You build the scene with your partner, with your scene partner, whoever's in the scene, you're building it with the director. You're just sort of, and it's, I love all that back and forth and all that information that's flying back and forth and choices.
Did you love doing scenes with Milo?
Oh yeah. Oh God.
Like he was just awesome.
Yeah. Everybody was great. I mean, everybody was great to work with. I mean, everybody's operating at a very high level and, you know, the discussions were pretty much the same tenor because everybody was speaking the same sort of language of the theater, right? It's all about motivation. And, you know, if somebody had a problem, they can't walk over there because they can't motivate it. Well, then we'd solve that problem. So it's fairly so complex.
Should a lot of credit be given to the casting person who was so on the top of his or her game? Because it seems like you all love each other so much and you're all still close, and like who gets the credit for hiring such amazing people? Is it the casting director, or does that go even above?
I think it goes with casting. I think it goes with Amy and Dan, because I think they have final say on everybody. Yeah. I remember being in the room initially when I read for the pilot with Amy and who else was there? Gavin Pallone and Leslie Linka Glatter, who was directing the pilot. And there was just, you know, she's got to feel something, right? I mean, you know when it's right. And I guess, you know, it was one of, I walked into a lot of rooms and prior to that, and the feeling wasn't there and they didn't feel that I was right. But I walked into that room and they felt it was really right. So that's got to click with the creator, you know, or the director, or, you know, it's got to click with the room. And that's why I was so surprised I didn't get Reservoir Dogs, because it really I felt really click with Tarantino and Bender. And
yeah, it makes sense. So yeah. I have a question, and I'm sorry to steal the, I'll stop after this. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met or heard from anyone maybe that was recognizable that auditioned for Luke? You know how you always hear like these 10 people were up for a certain part. Like, was there anyone else? Because look, you are Luke and they were right. Right. But was there anyone else that you know went in and read for it?
There was a guy at another audition, like like 2012 or 2013. And we were sitting in the waiting room waiting to go in to read for the director. And I forget who he was, but he wasn't like a known, he wasn't a known celebrity kind of guy. But he told me, he goes, you know, I was there that day. I remember when you came in, I remember what you were wearing. And I kind of said to myself, that guy's going to get the role. He said, you had this air. And he said, I did a great job. I really prepared it, but I knew you were going to get that role. I was not surprised when I read it.
Wow. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cool guy too. He's really, really good guy. So thank you, Guy, whoever you are, for those kind words.
Yeah.
Wherever you are. It's probably John Hamm.
Doesn't John Hamm come on? Isn't he on?
He's got an episode, yeah. Where he
Yeah. Okay, keep going. Juicy.
Next up, we have a question from Mandarilla. Scott, from an actor's perspective, how did your character grow from season 1 to the end of season 2?
I think he put on a little weight. I think he grew in tonnage.
Too much craft services.
I'm not kidding. I think I started out the role, I think the pilot, I was about 185, and by the end of season 2 I was 210.
Too many red vines out there on that table.
No, I was working out more.
Oh, so it was like muscly.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
It wasn't sourdough bread.
Oh no. Well, it was a combination of mass quantities of food, and I just started working out more. The reason I was working out more was because I wanted to feel really fit and healthy when I came on set, because then I started realizing what kind of a grind I was involved in, right? It was my first series regular role, and I wasn't 20, right? So I said, okay, so let's get in the gym and get in shape.
Was there a moment for you, Scott, when you were like, I am Luke, like I know Luke now, I am comfortable really being Luke?
As soon as I read the script, as soon as I read the first scene of Luke.
Wow.
Because
then that makes sense why you got it. Cause you're like, I got this guy.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine anybody else playing it. And I remember when I really vibe with something that I'm reading, an audition, and I start rehearsing the first scene right away when I'm reading it and seeing how it's going to sound, that's when I know it's good for me. If I don't do that, and if I'm still trying to find, you know, something about the character that I can hook into, then that's usually when I don't get it. And you shouldn't, you're not right for it. So this spoke to me. It's actually screamed at me.
I love it.
It said, I am the role you have been waiting for. And it was deafening. Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next one is from Bella. What was more surprising, the fact that Rory and Jess kissed or that Sherry was pregnant?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. You know, I was surprised by both of those things. I was delighted by the kiss because I thought it really enhanced the story. It deepened the story. It complicated the story. It left us with a nice feeling and nice, that was a nice balanced type of a cliffhanger. The pregnancy thing I wasn't expecting because I just thought it was, I don't know. I just thought it was ham-handed in some way. It wasn't my favorite moment in the show from a writer's perspective. So, but Danielle, I mean, what else could they do? You know,
what did you think? Because Danielle, it's hard for me to answer because I've seen this so many times. Danielle, you're watching it for the very first time. What shocked you more?
I was shocked that Sherry was pregnant. I knew Rory and Jess were going to kiss. Like, that was just only a matter of time, was waiting for it to happen, was waiting for him to come back to town. Like, I saw that coming. But Sherry being pregnant, you got me there.
The thing that surprised me most about the Jess-Rory kissing scene was that Dean didn't whoosh through the middle of it on a trapeze with a sign saying, "Hands off my girl."
I knew you were going to do that.
Because I literally envisioned Dean on a trapeze.
Or he's in the background just like flipping out silently. You know?
I thought that kiss was so well done, though, because it was like, whoa, you're here. Kiss. Mm-hmm. Double kiss. Mm-hmm. Run. And then just as you're like, oh, my God, she's freaking out. She's running away. She turns with the welcome home.
Right.
So you're like, oh, my God.
That was a happy girl.
Such a well done.
And I'll tell you, the great part about it for me wasn't just the kiss. It was just the look on Jess's face when he arrived and they locked eyes. He looked like he really needed a hug and a kiss. Yeah, that's why he was there. I mean, it was just as vulnerable and full hearted as he could possibly be at that stage in his life. And it's like, I love you, Rory. Please, yeah. I wish you would kiss me. And she did.
I came back for you is mm-hmm. also like, I came back.
Yeah.
You know, like, here I am. I came back because of you.
Right.
Anyway.
Poor Dean. Dean. Mm. Dean up a tree, falling.
Bye-bye, Dean.
Poor guy.
Bye, Dean. Yeah.
I love Jared, though. And I love how Jared loves Dean. Do you know what I mean? Even mm-hmm. still to this day, mm-hmm. with Jared's had so much success. Mm-hmm. You can tell he really holds a special place for Dean and always talks about him in interviews and always answers the questions. It's really sweet how all the cast does that.
He's great in that role. I mean, he really is a talent. He was a talented young cat, you know, 18. I didn't realize how good he was until I started watching, you know, until I started doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Because I'd walk around and say, what's the big deal with this kid? He's, you know, what's the big deal? But now I know.
Keely wants to know, Scott, so far, which guest star has made the biggest impact on you watching the seasons back?
Oh, that is another epic question.
Which guest star that I've had on the podcast or which guest star in the show that I'm witnessing on the show?
And we've had most of them.
Yeah.
That could be both.
God, which guest star? Repeat the question again. Could you, counselor? Thank you.
Of course. I can use it in a sentence and a phrase.
Can somebody turn on the air conditioner? Thank you.
Keely wants to know, yes. Scott, so far, which guest star has made the biggest impact on you watching the seasons back?
Guest star. God, the biggest impression?
Carole King?
No.
Okay.
Guest star. I mean, somebody that just popped in for one episode, mm-hmm. not a recurring mm-hmm. character.
Correct. Okay.
All right. So that wipes out a whole list of people. Guest star. Gosh, I got to say Rune.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Yeah. Because
that's
a
really great answer.
I enjoyed him so much when he came on the podcast. And I just enjoyed hanging with him on the set. He was a ton of fun. He's a unique personality for sure. All heart and soul.
Answer.
And he's funny as all get out. So, and I love that character. I just love that character.
I mean, it was nice to see Jane Lynch pop up. Mm-hmm. Remember that when mm-hmm. Richard had the heart attack? That was kind of extraordinary.
Didn't have a huge impact on me, you know, the way that Rune did, but.
Yeah, I agree. That's Alex Borstein. I guess we can count her.
Was she a guest star?
Yeah, because she was in like two episodes, right?
Yeah, I remember her in the episodes, Netflix things, but I don't remember in the show. I do remember Jane Lynch. She was very professional.
What about Seth? You love Seth MacFarlane.
Yes. He's right. You know what? You're right. Okay. All right. That's the guy. He's my number one. I would say Rune and Seth. And that's I'm blanking on Max Perlick. Max Perlick and Seth.
Yeah.
Right, neck and neck for number one. You're absolutely correct.
Epic question. Great answers.
Yeah.
Okay, next question is from Catherine. Do you think the reason why Emily cannot keep a maid is because she keeps trying to fill a hole from losing Lorelai, and thus nobody can take the place of her daughter?
That's really deep. It's like Lorelai as with a duster. Lorelai with the cleaning products. Cleaning, like nobody can clean Emily's soul. So she's got to keep trying to find, I don't know. That's quite a theory. Yeah, I'm not a licensed therapist, so I'm not trained as a psychologist. I don't know if there's a connection there, but there could be. I mean, I just think not just maids, but anybody else she mistreats. And I think it's so ingrained in her, the frustration and the angst is so ingrained in her over the 16 years that she's just going to snap at everybody. And I don't know, maybe she was like this before. Maybe she did have this sort of abusive side to herself, which drove Lorelai away and didn't want to become that person. Who knows? But
I like the perspective though there, because
that's interesting.
That is an interesting thing. Like, I've had people that work with me for 20 years. I've worked with Ryan Seacrest for 30 years. So like it is interesting that she has so much turnover. Right. There must be something more complicated to it that maybe Amy was fascinated with because she wrote it in. There must be something there.
So she couldn't get Lorelai. She couldn't train Lorelai. She didn't train Lorelai the way she wanted to train Lorelai to obey. And she can't train any maids to do exactly what she wants. So she keeps trying. You know what? Okay. Yeah. I accept that now. Yes.
Or maybe we just start to get that Emily is so complicated. She's not easy to work for. It might be more on the nose. You know what I mean? But
I totally accept that theory. I think it's
I wouldn't mind polling the audience on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems interesting. I'd love
it. It is interesting. It's an interesting take. Yeah.
Next we have up from Klein. Rory fractures her wrist. Did you notice Stars Hollow has an ER?
I did in that episode. Yeah.
Or was it an urgent care?
Yeah. I don't know.
I get the vibe it's like an urgent care.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's doing surgery over there.
Right. I don't think it's Cedars.
Yeah. I think it's a couple of volunteers and over there.
It's urgent care.
They're in bed at their homes and then they come in if they get a call.
Right. Where did they take Richard? These are great.
Well, that was in Hartford, right? Where did he have his heart attack?
Oh yeah, you're right. Not, of course, it wasn't in Stars Hollow.
Right.
Of course.
No, he didn't. He had it at home or something, or at the office. I don't know. Yeah, that was Hartford. Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one is from Holly. Emily and Richard's house is so different from season to season, and how Lorelai and Rory have a piano. Why would such change if it would mess up the show's continuity?
Are they saying there was a piano there initially, and then it was gone, or a piano was added? Maybe they sold the piano. I don't know. Nobody played anymore.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, let me ask you this, Scott. So maybe, like when you guys are gone for the summer,
mm-hmm.
so you're on hiatus.
Yep.
Do they break down the set and let someone else use that studio?
Sure.
Could that be the reason for change? If
they've rented it out. Yeah. I mean, look, the studio is in the business of renting out their facilities to productions. Right. Not all of them are on the lot, have deals on the lot. And if they do have deals on the lot, it depends on their deal, how much they pay in rent for that stage, right? These are massive stages, right? And you've got to hire a construction crew to build your sets. So, but it's, you know, they take these sets apart in pieces and then they store them and then they reconstruct them. You know, it's not like they have to start from scratch and repaint and retool everything, you know. But, you know, if you've got a big movie production coming in, yeah, then, you know, if Tom Cruise wants a jungle, you know, he's going to get it. Lorelai's house is going to go on ice for the summer. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they do that very quickly. It's kind of amazing. I remember one day, speaking of Tom Cruise, there was that movie where he was, I don't know, it was the 1800s. And it was in China, The Last Samurai or something like that. Yeah. So they did some of the exteriors of these villages in China, exteriors of these villages in China, right on the back lot where we would shoot. So we were walking through these wild sets to get to the town hall meeting or to Luke's diner. It was kind of cool. I did see Tom Cruise, but we did not look at him very long. We weren't allowed to.
Sidebar. I have to interject.
Yes.
Have you guys watched the new trailer for Top Gun?
I just saw it this morning. It looks fantastic.
Isn't it?
And I just saw I was watching the original last night, and I think it's fantastic.
So it's so good. First of all,
Maverick, no one likes you because you're unsafe.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. When I saw Iceman's photo on the wall and I realized, oh my God, this is how they're working Iceman back in.
Yep.
Iceman is the one bringing Maverick back.
Yes.
Real tears. Real tears are coming
down. I know.
Like, I literally physically cried, and out loud my mouth said, of course. Like, yeah. Oh, so brilliant.
And Miles Teller is Anthony Edwards' son.
Yes, I know.
Who's coming back to the flying stuff looks so cool. Oh my God. Yeah, it looks like a real rip-roaring movie.
We've waited 2 years. That was supposed to come out in 2020.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I know. It's going to be a big blockbuster, man. That thing looks really cool.
Oh, great. Sorry.
That's good. Yeah, that's.
Next up, we have from Julie.
Mm-hmm.
Her question is regarding the sign for Luke's diner. It says Williams Hardware. Why wouldn't it be Dane's Hardware since it was his father's store? Was Luke's original name Luke Williams?
No, his father's first name is William, so that's why it's Williams Hardware. It's not a last name.
I'm missing the apostrophe.
That makes total sense. You know, we've had 50 people ask us that question.
Mm-hmm.
It's Williams, like Williams apostrophe S, like Luke's Hardware, like Luke's Diner,
right.
Same thing.
It's like Bill's Hardware, just Williams. I would prefer Bill's Hardware, Bill. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, next one is from Sasha. When a scene is being filmed with you in the background talking to other actors on set, what are you actually saying to the other person? I've always wondered if they make pretend lines up or if the actors just talked about their own lives. Is it awkward when you have to do this?
So when we're visible in the background, but not engaged in dialogue.
Correct.
We are not talking. We are not allowed. We're not allowed. Yes. We are miming. It's called miming.
Can you do it for us right now? Like, because do you do it like this?
No, you don't do it like that. You do it like.
Oh, wow. Wait. Okay. Wait.
That's how you do it.
You're so much better at it than us. Okay, wait, this is genius. Okay. So Scott. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
yeah.
Scott.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. You talk. Like
okay.
Just talk something.
Okay.
And Riley and I are going to pretend we're like background.
All right. Let me. I have to see this. I have to put my glasses on to see this to grade you on your performances.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Okay. So Riley, you and I are going to pretend we're talking to each other.
All right.
Okay?
So this will be a background. Scene in Luke's diner.
And yeah. I'll so Scott, you're doing some kind of monologue, and we're in the diner eating. Let me get my drink.
All right. You ready?
Okay. Tell us action.
Yeah. All right. And. Camera ready, actors ready, action. Anyway, so Taylor, let me tell you something, pal. You don't get out of my, that's okay, cut. No.
Is it bad? Are we awesome or are we mad?
No,
I don't
bad.
Know. Oh, it was? What are we going yeah. too much?
Yeah.
Okay, so can we do it again?
It's Let's too much again. And this it's too so... negative. It's too much and it's too negative. It's distracting.
Oh, too negative. Okay, yeah. Great.
Because you were like, note. You know. That could be interpreted as my bad acting. You're like, this scene stinks and you don't want to do that. So a director would stop you dead in his tracks. And I did. Thank you.
Give it again. This is awesome. Okay. Okay. Do it again. Okay.
What can I get you?
Wait, can you give us an action?
Oh, for God's sake.
Be professional.
You're telling me to be professional. Okay. Thank you. And action. Yeah, we got a, I can get you anything you need. We got hamburgers. We got steaks. There's a menu right there. Okay, just stop. Okay, cut.
Are we good?
Amy, what are you doing? You look like you're in a scene from Gone with the Wind. Like, what's happening with the overacting?
It's so funny because I feel like I'm doing awesome. Like, I feel like I'm
And that's
the best
what people
background actor.
On set think, too. And then when they're stopped.
I feel like I've said enunciate,
Riley. Like. Did I do that? I was trying to say to Riley, like, do you want something? Like, this is so good.
So just
this
ask her, so what's good. With all the facial moves?
Okay, wait. Like, can we do one more time?
Chill out your
one
face,
more.
Bro.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even know what I look like. It's hard. Looking at her.
Well, it's like
my character.
I mean, all one of a sudden, time. You know. Okay, here
one
we go.
More time.
Ready?
One more time.
And action. Hey, yeah, what can I get you, Rory? Oh, yeah. All right. Okay, I got to stop you again. You know what the problem is, Amy? You have too much personality. You can't help it. You can't help yourself. I'll tell you this right now. You are not a background person. You're a star. Thank you so much. That's the problem.
The weirdest part is I felt like I was nailing
it. No, you weren't.
I literally in my body was like, I am so effing good at this.
You were the extra that thinks
that was terrible.
You were the extra that thinks of the star. You were the extra that thinks that the camera's on you. And it's not.
Guys, I cannot wait to see it on the Instagram because I was so in character. I don't know what I was doing. Yeah. I just thought I was being awesome.
And here's another funny thing. You know, background acting is really, you know, it's a real art in and of itself, right? And like a lot of people that are first time background people and they're in the diner and we're having a big scene, you know, they're moving their mouths, but they're actually talking and that's not good. So they're going
because the sound picks up,
right? Of course, you can pick up, and we can hear it too. When we're trying to be in a scene, it's like,
right. It would be like when I'm doing this.
So the director will go cut, and they're banging their forks on their plates and like really eating, right. And they're like, the director comes out and says, "Guys, can you okay? No sound coming out of your mouths, and stop banging the forks on the plates. And it's not like really eating. You got to be real careful with the noises you make because the sound picks up. Sound guy picks up." Everything, and he'll be standing there with his arms shaking because he's been doing it all day, and he'll just drop his head and go, "Oh no, we got to cut," you know. And the director comes out and talks to people, and then they kind of get it. But some people just do it through the whole day. They're like,
"We need to get another." Remember, we had the one background actor on. Mm-hmm. I think I just sent you a TikTok from another one. Uh-huh. Let's get another one on so we can ask all our new questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I digress.
It's really an art. I mean, the sign of a great director is directing background too. You know, watch if you don't notice the background, that's a great director. If you notice them and they're too obvious in the scene, it's not good.
So should I put this video on my reel for my background acting audition?
You should not. No. You should lock that away in a secret place that nobody knows about and throw away the key.
Should I stick with podcasting even though people are like, I hate her?
This is your strength. You do the podcasting. Let that personality run amok all over the place. Don't try to silence yourself. It doesn't work. I gave you three shots. You had three chances.
It was super
right.
fun. It was actually really fun.
You're too expressive. You're too expressive.
Was Riley good?
I was so distracted by your bad backgrounding that I didn't notice Riley. So the answer is yes. Riley was really good. And that's not to say she's a wallflower. Maybe she just kind of gets it, you know?
It's like when you, I felt like when you wanted to leave a party and you're like, someone's facing you, you're like,
right. Like, no, it's not like that. Oh, that was good.
Riley, you had to put that up on the Instagram.
Absolutely.
First of all, you guys don't know what it's like to be on a Zoom. I just keep looking at my, like, I'm trying to get skinnier in the Zoom.
Well, the people that ask for the full podcast, you're like, sometimes I'm like, I didn't want to see all the whole podcast.
Thank you so much to everyone who asked for that. Like, where can I watch it? And it's just like, oh God, no. We look like trolls.
You don't want to? Oh gosh. Up next, we have a question from Amelia. She says, how long of a break was there between filming seasons? Alexis really matured between season 2 finale and the first episode of season 3, which we'll see.
Huh. Well, no, it's just like high school. You go through your academic year and then you take summer vacation. It's the same schedule. Christmas breaks, everything. Yeah, Thanksgiving, a whole deal. It's like being in high school again, which is...
So you get like 3 months off.
An accurate depiction. What's that? Yeah.
And did you typically chill or did you go and do like other projects?
No, I was working a lot. Not in the beginning, but actually.
When was Saw? Was Saw after?
No, that was, when was that? That was after season 7. The first one I did. And that's when I found out. That's when I found out the series was canceled.
So
I was on the set of Saw 4 up in Toronto and I got the call from the manager.
Ooh, that must have not been a fun call.
I was busy working. I didn't care. You know, it's like, oh, well, I kind of knew it was going to get canceled anyway. I had some intel, you know, had my attorney do some intel. My attorney's very connected.
Savvy.
Yeah. He was warning me. He was saying it's not looking good. So.
Oh, sad.
Yeah.
Next up, Sarah asked, there was a lot of drinking on the show. Was any of it real alcohol? I assume it's not, but what would be used in place of it to make it look like alcohol?
It's either, well, let's see, if you're drinking whiskey, then it's gosh, what is it? It's Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
If you're drinking gin, it's water, juice, right? It's apple juices. Yeah. They use fruit juices and
didn't I always hear that Alexis didn't drink coffee. So her coffee mug was filled with Coca-Cola.
She did drink Coca-Cola. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I always had a very healthy, carrot juice, and sometimes coffee.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
It's about balance.
Yeah, they do love their cocktails over at the Gilmore's. They do.
That's kind of post. That's when you wrap. Then we're just
no, guzzled. But even always when they're Friday night dinner, there's always, the first thing they say is, can I get you a drink? Like, they always have a cocktail at the Gilmore's on Friday night.
Yeah. They were not real cocktails. Nobody's drinking on set.
6 hours later, Lauren Graham's all sloth. Like,
take 50.
Yeah, from Gilmore's Girls to Euphoria. There you go. There you go. Sorry.
All right. Our last question comes from Steph. What was it like filming a finale? Did the cast do anything special after wrapping each season?
Yeah, there was always a wrap party. You know, there was a wrap party and it was fun. Sometimes it was on set. You know, after we wrapped and then, you know, hey, you know, get in your street clothes and come on back and we're going to have some parties. And that's what we do. You know, sometimes it was at a restaurant. Some was a restaurant. Sometimes it was fun. Yeah.
Scott, what would we have to do? And we don't have to do it yet. Maybe it'll be for the season 3 wrap party. What would we have to do to get you to go on the Warner Brothers tour with us to Gilmore Girls?
Are you planning on doing that?
Well, we're asking you.
What would you have to do?
Like, no, what would we have to do to get you to go with us? Or would you just do it?
What do you mean? You mean go on the Warner Brothers tour?
Like
be a tourist? You want me to go do that? I'll do that. That'll be fun. And do you want to do a podcast from there?
Of course, and we're going to film the whole thing. Oh, yes.
Is that your news? Is that your thing?
No, my news was just how everybody hates Christopher, but just I had the idea. I'm going to find out, like, can you imagine we do the podcast and like you surprise everybody on the tour?
That would be fun.
Okay. Easton? So our engineer Easton just wrote in the chat. Yes.
That would be a lot of fun.
My friend Jeff used to work over there and I'm going to find out who I hit up now.
Oh, I can call James over there.
James, of course. I'll text him right now.
That's amazing. He'd probably say yes right now while we're on the air.
Totally. You know? Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. We have to do that. Like we'll do it this summer or something.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That's so good.
We should do it sooner rather than later. I might be going away.
Oh, I didn't want to ask.
If
you remember, like, I can't remember our last episode or the one before.
Yeah.
There was a phone call.
Yeah, there was a phone call.
Have we had any more phone calls?
We're negotiating.
Oh, that's so exciting.
There's negotiations.
Okay, then we'll do it. We'll either do it right before or we'll do it when you get back. We'll figure it out. Don't forget to bring your microphone if you get that job.
Yeah. No, I'm going to, I have to bring all this stuff.
Huh. Okay. Wait, Riley, was that the last question?
That was the last question.
That was
this
it?
This was so fun. Yeah.
That was good. This is good. This is I like
so
this.
So good. Okay, we'll do this again after season 3.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go send out my resume for my background acting.
Yeah, okay. Don't print too many of them. Don't worry, you know. Yeah, great.
Is that what I look like?
Yeah.
Maybe at the end you can have Scott go, I endorse this message.
I trained her. I taught her everything she knows about background.
Oh, God,
acting.
I can't believe I was so bad. Actually, I can.
You know,
I'm a bad actor.
Look, no, it's just too big a personality. What are you going to do? Can't contain it.
I'll have to go back to my dreams of being a rock star then.
Really? You had dreams?
Oh, you know what I always wanted to be? Not that anyone cares, but we're at the end of the show.
So you would have been a good rock star.
My dream was to be James Taylor's backup singer. What? I never a front man. I never want to be the one in the front.
No,
I
always you have to be a slightly front, back. You have to be a front. No, front,
no
front,
I'm always
front
just,
woman.
You're the front man. I'm just slightly back. Ryan Seacrest, the front man. I'm just back behind.
Can you sing though? I mean, are you a singer?
I'm not going to lie. In the sixth grade musical, I was Maria in The Sound of Music.
Wow.
But I don't know.
So bust out a couple of
not right
tunes.
Now, but no, maybe just later. My brothers tell me I'm the worst singer they've ever heard, but then people give me like singing parts. So I'm like,
man,
I don't know.
I've got some songs. You know, we can go out and play. We can go busk. You want to go busk? Let's go busking.
What is that?
That means you go out in the street and you play songs for strangers.
Third Street Promenade?
Yes.
I wonder if we'd make money.
It doesn't matter.
We have our hat out. You get like a quarter here.
Donate everything, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So let's do it. If you can sing, I'll stand there and play the guitar.
We'll talk about it. We'll do it after.
This is after your background career comes to an end.
This is after I get a lot of background work and then our Warner Brothers.
Right. And then you retire.
I nominate a duet on the Warner Brothers tour of the theme song between you two.
Right.
No, I can't. That's why I can't do it.
For a background person, you're getting a star on the walk, off the Walk of Fame. It's in Pacoima. It's on 3rd Street up in Pacoima. That's where that is. So anyway.
Oh my God. This was
everybody.
A fun one. Okay,
it
so
really
now
was.
Everybody
really was.
Serious. Hmm. Season 3, episode 1 next week. So everybody get ready.
Get ready, everybody. Because we're boning up. I mean, we're watching the heck out of this episode. And we are gonna slice and dice it. All right, everybody, thanks so much. Danielle, Amy, where's Danielle? Never came back, but thanks, Danielle.
Danielle had an emergency.
She had an emergency. Riley, good seeing everybody. Thank you, Amy. This was a blast. We should do this.
This was awesome.
This is really a lot of fun. And thanks, everybody, for downloading. Best fans on the planet. Love you all. And we will see you next time. Stay safe. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen.
gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.